Hey everyone, Michael here again. Listen, welcome back into the series through the book of James in the New Testament of the Bible. Today I'm covering James chapter 2, so I want to challenge you to get your Bibles out again. I'm using and reading from the New Living Translation version, and I'm going to challenge, as always, to get a physical Bible. Listen, there's so much great truth and wisdom in this word. I'm at a beautiful spot. Figured I'd kind of change it up here today, so you're going to hear some birds and some wind from time to time, but that's okay along the journey. Let's have a word of prayer before we jump in. Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to connect here and have some conversation about your word and how it does apply to our lives, even in our culture today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's jump in. James chapter 2 starts out with this. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others?" Isn't that interesting? So for those of you out there that are watching this that call yourselves Christians, in other words, you're following after the things of Christ and on that journey and growth with God through Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, are you in a situation where in your mind you kind of put people on different pedestals? Maybe somebody that's got more money or more wealth or more things, you say, okay, these people are important, but these people are less important. And what it's telling us here is, how do you call yourself basically a follower of Christ and have faith in the Lord, glorious Lord Jesus Christ, as it says, if you favor some people over others? In other words, why are you doing that? Everyone's been created equal in God's eyes. Now, that doesn't mean the results and experience and gifts and abilities aren't different. They are. God's made us equal, but he's created us all very different, which is a beautiful thing. Imagine coloring with crayons and all you had was one color. All you had was black or white or yellow or red, and that's the only color you had. It would kind of get boring after a certain time, right? So God's allowed us the differences in the colors that we see in our world today, I believe, in a lot of ways, to create diversity and more engagement and more excitement on the journey. Verse 2, for example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show your judgments are guided by evil motives? You know, that's something I think we got to be thinking about for those churches today is, what does the church look like? Like, do they create selective groups for folks with money and everyone else is just kind of there? What does that actually look like on the journey? You know, we want to be considerate of that. Not that you don't get people together and have projects that some can be a part of. I get that as far as building or missions financially. But let's make sure that we're very selective and not valuing or devaluing people based on their financial capability. Verse 5, listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Here it is. Love your neighbor. Verse 8. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, many of us don't have a problem thinking about me, myself, and I, right? What can I do to take care of me, make life more comfortable for me, and all of these things? And yet what James is telling us here is, and kind of going back to what God told us in a lot of ways, Christ was instructing to us, is love our neighbor as ourselves. When Jesus was asked, Master, what is the greatest thing? What is the greatest commandment? What's the best thing essentially that we can do? And he said, well, the best thing that you can do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because God knew that if we focused on chasing after him through reading his word, through prayer, through meditation, through being a part of fellowship with other believers, he knew that as we chased the relationship with God, what would happen is it would change us from the inside out. And then as we love our neighbors as ourselves, we come alongside with more peace and kindness and care. And I got to be honest with you, in our culture today, I think you see this, we live in a world where there's a lot of chaos and challenges and division. A lot of it's drawn and brought in by the media. So one of the things we have to do is turn off the bad and turn on the good to allow more peace to bubble out inside of our lives. It's so important. So love your neighbor as yourselves. Verse 9, but if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said, you must not commit adultery. What is adultery? Old word. Here's what it means. Cheating on your spouse. The Bible says you must not commit adultery. Also said, you must not murder. So this same God who said you shouldn't commit adultery, verse 11, also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you still have broken the law. So whatever you do, verse 12, so whatever you do or whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. Isn't that interesting? It's so important. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of times in our culture today, if you've been younger, when you were younger, you heard these little things like this little white lie and all this kind of stuff. You know, our culture today talks a lot about the idea of, well, this is bad, but this is really bad. And that's not how God frames or phrases anything in a lot of ways. I mean, look at Jesus on the cross hanging between the two thieves. They were both guilty. And yet the one acknowledged who he was and essentially asked for forgiveness. And Jesus's response to him was, you will be with me in paradise, right? And so here we are as a culture, and a lot of times certain Christians say, well, you know, this is unacceptable or this is okay, and this is levels, level one, level two, level three, level four, level five. Well, if you did this, then you're a really bad Christian. But if you just do this, if you just eat too much called gluttony, that's okay. So what I'm telling you is there's how God defines it is there's sin and then there's not sin. And that's it. One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not lie. Now, I want to challenge you real quick. And you may say, Mike, maybe you're going too far on this, but hang with me for a minute. Think about this for a minute. Christmas time comes around. And all of a sudden, here's Santa. How many years do parents spend trying to convince their kids and even lying to them that Santa Claus is real? And they're the ones that put the gifts under the tree. And Santa's the one that ate the cookie and drank the milk. Now, I know you might be saying to yourself, Mike, come on, you're going too far here. Gosh, it's just all in fun. I understand that. And I'm not telling you what to do or what not to do. Here's my question to you, though. If you spend years lying to your children about something simple and small like that, what are some other things maybe in the future where your kids say, well, wait a minute, when they figure out that Santa isn't real? When they say, wait a minute, why did my parents lie to me about that? It was such a simple thing. We could have still had fun with it. My kids, as an example, we talked about the reality that Santa Claus was not real, but we did get into the story of Saint Nick and some of the other things and where some of this came from. So they saw it. And you know what? Even after we shared that, sometimes they would still say, hey, when's Santa coming? Okay, well, now we let them enjoy that. But at least we know we told our kids the truth. Where does it end and where does it start? Where does a lie start and where does it end? What's okay and what's not okay? And that's really my challenge to you as you look at life, as you think about life, as you think about what God's Word is telling us here. What it's talking about is us in and of ourselves, people, humans, creating levels for different types of sins. God's Word says that's not the case. James is telling us a sin is a sin is a sin. And it's so important us to think about that way. Now, how we really go introspective is we slow down, take time, unplug. And that's my challenge as I close up James chapter 2, part 1, is to slow down. Take some of what was shared here. Maybe watch it again. Make some notes. Get a group of people so you can have some accountability. And be in a place where you think about, okay, what? Let me take inventory of my life. If you got some bad things in your life, you need to change them. If you got old milk in the refrigerator, you don't just let it stay in the fridge, you throw it out, right? If you got molded cheese in the fridge, you don't let it stay there, you throw it out. If you got some things in your life as you're taking inventory, where you're saying, gosh, you know what? I do tend to kind of little white lies or little things, not acting with full integrity along the journey. Gosh, take some inventory, clean house a little bit, and put yourself in a place where you continue to step forward in growth and leading into all that God has for you with your future. James chapter 2, part 1, coming out with James chapter 2, part 2, coming at you soon. Talk to y'all soon.